Hello, Carla.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. How are you? Are you in New York?
I'm good. I'm in New York. I arrived yesterday evening, and I'm battling with the jet lag now.
Well,
How
hopefully
are
you'll be
you?
able
When did you
to.
come back from Guatemala?
I came back on Saturday. And
Okay.
I'm up in the mountains of Vail, so I'm decompressing and hopefully having a clear connection. I think both of us being back in the US is helpful,
You didn't have time difference with Guatemala, do you?
I'm sorry?
You didn't have time difference in Guatemala?
No time difference, the same mountain time.
It's the same, okay.
Yeah, I think Christine's on the call. Hi, Christine.
Hiya. Hi,
How
how
are
are
you?
you? Welcome back.
Thank you so much. Isn't it nice to be able to hear each other?
It
Am I clear?
You are.
I had like five test calls with friends before I even got anywhere close to this call. I'm like, this better work or I'm going to be in big trouble. So. All good, and thanks for volunteering today. You two are always the first ones on, so I love it. All right, we'll give the others a few minutes, and then we'll get started, okay?
Okay,
Okay.
perfect.
Welcome, Joyce. It's Sasha.
Hi, Sasha. How's it feel to be home?
Over the top, amazing. And
I
what
can't
feels
imagine.
even and what feels even better than that is being able to hear everyone.
You're very clear.
Yay, I'm right around the corner.
Okay, this will be great.
Yeah. So, thanks. We're just waiting for a few more people to join, and then I'll signal you to begin our grounding.
Okay.
My computer says 2:59, so we'll give them a few more minutes. Bring on about three more people.
Okay.
Welcome to Sasha. How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you?
Great. Thanks. We're just waiting for a couple more people, and then we'll begin. Welcome, Jamie and Randy. It's Sasha on a clear line. How are you guys?
I can hear you loud and clear.
I am pretty much in your backyard. Oh, my God. I knew we were going to laugh about this, and that's great. I love it. We are waiting for Genevieve. Everyone is with us with Genevieve, and hopefully she'll be joining us momentarily. So I have three one. Let's go ahead and do our beginning grounding that Joyce will lead us into, and then we'll have our discussion. Okay, so if everyone could mute except for Joyce, that would be great. And then go ahead, Joyce.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi. I'm ready.
Okay. Go ahead, Joyce.
Find a steady seat and close your eyes. Block out everything else in the room. Begin slow, deep breaths, emptying the lungs completely with each exhale. Clear your mind and focus only on your breath and this moment. Know that the seat you've chosen is the best seat in the house. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Great. Thank you so much, Joyce. Well, welcome, everyone. So we just have to name this. I know it was just so challenging last week, and I couldn't wait to jump on this call this week and be so clear. And I'm hoping I'm clear with everyone. Yes?
Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still a little muddled.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm as clear as I'm going to be. If you're having issues, you may want to call back in, maybe from a landline, or make sure you're using a headset, because everything is I've tested and tested and tested. So hopefully we're good to go. Thank you all for your patience and your support with the emails from last week. And just so you know, we are just going to completely redo last week's agenda. And if you had an opportunity to share last week, you're certainly welcome to do it again this week, but maybe, allow some others to share. So we'll start by just making sure, I just want to be absolutely certain that everyone, and just say no if you have not, has received the updated buddy list, the updated coach-to-coach schedule, the powerful questions document that I sent from Guatemala.
The what?
Powerful questions.
I don't think I got that. This is Genevieve.
Okay, well,
I did not get that.
Excuse me?
I got it.
Okay, so just Genevieve. And welcome, Genevieve. The class page link. And what I sent the very first week, which was developing the mentor coach story by Dr. Dave. Great. All right. Looks like we are good to go. So I would like to go around the circle and have four people volunteer to share one win, one challenge, and that challenge is separate from your own work challenge from the yoga supplement on page 2. So 3 pieces, one win, one challenge personally, what happened in your week, and then one piece of your own work. I want to keep this to 90 seconds per person because we've got a lot to cover today. So if you'd like to share, go ahead and jump in, please.
This is Jamie.
Thank you, Jamie.
I would love to share. I had a win last night, and it was actually very pertinent to the reading because I was able to catch and then practice active listening and responding intuitively, and it felt great. It was actually a conversation with my housemaid, and it was a very, very difficult conversation because she had become extraordinarily triggered and emotional. And I was able to, it just popped into my mind to literally just reflect back to her everything that I was hearing her say, and as I did it, it really resonated how essential it was for her to simply know that she was being heard. And it that in and of itself shifted the rest of the conversation. And it went from being something that could have been extraordinarily volatile and possibly harmful to both of us to something that actually created greater connection and intimacy. So that was definitely a win. And from my own work, it actually happened in my class this morning. I was in a gentle yoga class, and this teacher, I'm not yet trained as a yoga instructor, but I'm just feeding off of the teachers and my action challenge. I realized that it says, what does it mean to empower somebody to solve their own challenges versus telling them what to do? Is I just was very keyed into how she was developing her instruction to us. And there was, it was structured, but there was never any sense coming from her that there was a right or wrong way to do any of the explorations and the poses. And I draw from that in terms of my coaching and in hoping to practice better, you know, that subtle way of being able to provide a structure without there being any agenda. And the challenge is just getting all of the pieces of my life.
nothing major. Just okay.
To fall into place. No, it's not overdoing it. Yeah, that's my challenge.
Okay. Jamie, that's awesome. Thank you. And you're already coaching. You know, just having that conversation with your housemate, I'm really, that's just, excites me that the short time we've been together, that the reading material and what we're learning is already showing up in your life. So thank you so much for sharing. Who would like to go next? About 90 seconds on your share, please.
This is Christine. I'll go.
Thanks, Christine.
I feel like my challenge and my win were actually the same thing. I'm looking for a job. I'm about to be unemployed. And I went through an interview process, and I didn't accept the job that I felt was not going to be a good fit for me. And that was really, it's hard for me because my practical side says, well, gee, you know, it's still a bad economy. Can you really afford to not take a job? But having a job that's a good fit has become so important to me, really since I started practicing yoga, and I want to be my authentic self. And I know that if I accept a job that's a bad fit, I'm going to be miserable. I'm not going to do a good job. So it was really, it was hard to do, but I did it. So I feel like my challenge and my win were the same thing there. And then for action challenges, that second one, I was just thinking about, I love to ask people questions. I love to know what they think. And I feel like empowering people instead of telling them, asking them, you know, getting them to put things in their own words to describe what they're thinking, what they're feeling, and just kind of guide them from that place as opposed to saying, well, you should do this or you should do that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And going back to your personal win and challenge being one and the same, it sounds like you're really tapping into your authenticity and your heart and listening to your voice and letting that empower you. So great job. Thank you for sharing. We'll take one more. Anyone? It's, you know, there's no right or wrong here. It's just voicing your experiences of the week.
This is Randy. I'm holding back, but I went last week, so that's why.
That's okay. Thanks, Randy. It's okay.
This is Joyce. I'm holding back, too.
Well, go ahead, Randy. Randy, you jumped in there, so go ahead and just, it's fine. No problem.
I was actually saying, I didn't need to. I didn't have anything. I'd have to rethink this. Do you want me to? Is there anybody else on the call that hasn't gone?
And to all of you, this interaction is an opportunity. If you're one to hold back, it's an opportunity to take a risk and step in and lend you know, true to your voice. Carla, could you speak up just a little bit, please?
Can you hear me better now?
If you could turn up the volume just a little bit, that would be great. That's better. Go ahead.
I was kidding that because actually my win story looks a lot like the one Jamie has with her roommate. I had kind of the same conversation yesterday night when I arrived with my daughter. She's upstate now, and she was very sad and was balanced yesterday when she called me to welcome me at home. And just by listening to her, and after listening to her rephrase her words, I was able to let her see that the way she was acting at that moment, feeling sad and insecure and everything, that it was just something of the moment. And that it was passing by. And after the conversation, she was able to just think of herself. And after that, she sent me an email thanking me that I listened to her, because she told me that was really the only thing that I needed right now, someone to listen to and not to criticize me or anything, because she knew perfectly well what to do.
You know, I'm sorry, this is Sue, and I really don't have any idea what she was saying because it was so garbled. Is it just me, or is it just me?
Yeah. Carlo, we are having trouble hearing you, so I would like to ask you a favor, if you don't mind, is just to hang up and call back in.
Okay.
I apologize for that. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you all for sharing. And if you can speak up this time, you know, you'll have another opportunity next week. So I want to go ahead and jump into the reading material. We talked a lot about the SMART goals last week, and I know our conversation was jumbled, so I don't have a sense of how much was taken in and how much, you know, was missed. So I'm just going to leave it up to the group here. We're going to turn to page 101 and 102 for the SMART goals. And I just want to check in and see if anybody has any questions that, due to the poor connection, weren't clarified, or in your homework from the past week, what came up that I can help clarify for you around this structure.
Yeah, Sasha, it's Randy. I think when I was writing my SMART goals to kind of get a sense of it, what I had a harder time was, I'm curious to know, like, how, what suggestions you have, was I understand doing the next steps for the 30-day goals, but do you do at the very beginning when you're setting your 60 and 90-day goals the next step on, let's say, the third initiative on the 90-day goals, which is quite far in the future, or do you wait to do that as you get closer to it when it feels more accurate?
Yeah, that's an awesome question, Randy, and thanks for posing that. Personally, I wait till I get a little closer, because
as
you go through this process and you got your 30-day goals and 60-day goals, your 90-day goals could shift, right? If you write it out today and you haven't started anything, and then you get into the process and it's 30 days in or 45 days in or 60 days in, you know, because of your successes and how things manifested for you, your 90-day goal may be slightly different. And it's totally fine to make those shifts as you go along. But right now, you're just creating this outline.
That's what I thought. Great.
Okay. Great. Awesome. Great question. Does anyone else have a question that they need clarified around the SMART goals?
Actually, there's one other question. I've got SMART goals that are somewhat separate. Are you assuming that it's sort of one general goal, like let's say my goal is going to be to get a coaching client? I've got one goal for that, and then I've got a 90-day goal for something that's not related to coaching. Would you prefer the 30, 60, and 90 all be related to the same thing?
Not at all. These are your goals.
Okay.
These are your goals for what you want for your life. Whether they're related or not is really not important.
Great.
Okay. Thanks, Randy. Anyone else? Okay. And, all right, if that's clear, we're going to go ahead and move on to page 51. And I'm just going to go ahead and just say this up front, that I apologize if, you know, some of our conversation last week was heard and it sounds a little bit repetitive today. So just know that you're deepening the learning process. So we're on page 51, and we're going to discuss a little bit about balancing doing with being. And I just, again, would like to keep this highly interactive, giving you guys the opportunity to express your experiences with a lot of this material. Would anyone like to share their understanding of the difference between doing versus being? And it can be an experience that you've had on the yoga mat or off.
This is Joyce.
Go ahead, Joyce. Thank you.
The best way I can explain it is I took an improv class a couple of times, and to me this feels exactly like the lessons you learn in improvisation. It's like you don't think ahead of time of what the person is going to say or what your answer is going to be. You're completely, completely present. So that's my greatest takeaway from that.
That's great. And can you share with myself and the group what that feels like in your body when you are fully present? Like, what do you notice that's different? If anything.
Well, it is different. You're fully attuned and waiting to hear what the other person says before you formulate any ideas. So any old stories, old dialogues, any preconceptions you might have, they're not there.
Great. I love it. Would someone like to share an experience they've had doing versus being on the mat as a teacher, as a student? For example, what it felt like when you were fully present in teaching a class or in your practice versus maybe an agenda or an expectation you had around what that class was going to look like or how you were going to feel at the end of it.
This is Genevieve. That's interesting because you say that, and then I think about sometimes when I go to class and I do have an expectation, not an expectation, but it's my practice, and as a teacher, we don't get to practice very much, and in my own practice, but being facilitated, sometimes when the teacher is not doing something for my body that I feel that I need, I do kind of my own practice, and a lot of people know me as, oh, don't even watch her because she does her own thing. So I suppose I'm going to have a really hard time. It's like, wow, okay, that just, you know, kind of triggers me. It's like, wow, because I guess I do a lot when I'm in class instead of just being. Because if I was just being, I would let the teacher facilitate and just let her guide me without any expectation or any, you know, need to, I guess, have control of what I need at that moment. So,
right.
Interesting, yeah.
That's really interesting, Genevieve, because what came up for me when you shared that was you're actually being who you need to be on your mat in your practice in that moment.
Oh. Like, uh-huh.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. I'm being who I need to be to get the most out of that experience for that time that I have.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it can be both. You know, it could be that, wow, I'm you know, as I explained, so.
Yeah.
But both are interesting.
They are both interesting. And thank you for sharing. There's just a little bit of background noise. So if you've got something in the background, just press star 6 and we'll keep the line clear. Thank you. So just to flush out a little bit more of this doing versus being, as we spoke about last week, you know, being is really coming from a very centered place, a place of being grounded. And when you, just like we do in the beginning of this call, just like most every other class does at the beginning of the practice, to become still, to become present, you know, either through pranayama breath work or a mantra or an intention or just being completely still. And what this allows us to do, both on and off the mat, is it gives us access to all of our states of mind, right? So we're not just thinking about something that's not happening in the moment or what we did before class or what we're going to do after class. It just allows us this type of access. And from that place, it's really super easy to make an empathic statement. When you're grounded and centered, you can see people, just like Jamie described her housemate situation. You can hear people because you're super, super tuned in. So, for example, I hear how exciting that's been for you. So rather than trying to fix someone, which is what we tend to do when we're in a doing frame of mind, the being frame of mind allows us to take the client to this new place, again, so that they feel heard and they feel understood. And it's in this place that you join them on a common ground. So you're meeting in this place of neutrality. We talked a little bit last week about not hijacking their agenda. Okay, and we'll get into that a little bit more. So, you know, this place of neutrality where the client and coach can meet together is really powerful. And again, I'm just using you as an example because you brought up the exact point that we're instilling is active listening, asking powerful questions, you know, two ears, one mouth, right? Developing that muscle of listening so we can be fully present and allow that collaborative experience to just expand. Okay. Great. Let me just see if I have anything else to say about that. Any questions on the differences between balancing the differences between doing and being, and you know what might come up in those situations? Okay, who can describe their knowledge of empathy? And how that would relate to being present, being centered and grounded with your client.
Hi, Sue.
Thanks, Sue. Go ahead.
I think being empathetic is having the ability to put yourself in someone's shoes and in their mind and in their feelings and to sit back and totally try to understand where they're coming from and with an open heart and not judging them.
Brilliant. I couldn't have said it more accurate myself. And what does this do for you as a coach when you can bring to the relationship a sense of empathy, a sense, you know, when you're in discussion and keeping your client accountable? How does this serve you as a coach?
I think that it helps to be a really good coach. how does it serve me as a coach? I think it's a good tool if you're empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
If you have empathy, I think that's a wonderful tool and a good trait. And I think it's something that, I don't know if people could learn that or not. I don't know. Do you either have it or you don't have it?
Mm.
Can you learn it?
I believe you can learn it. I think it's building muscle. And I just feel like what I was trying to get at a little bit, everything you said is absolutely correct. And it's also very empowering for the coach to have this skill to be able to use to work with the client. So, yeah, just keep playing around with that. Notice in your own life, whether it has to do with coaching or practicing yoga or not, where you show up and you're fully present, whether it's you've had a long day at work and you come home and your kids are telling you about their day at school, are you fully present listening to their day, or are you multitasking, doing dinner, answering emails, you know, whatever. Just simply notice without judgment your patterns and then practice. There are a plethora of opportunities to practice, and the more you build this muscle, the easier it's going to be to use it in your coaching practice. Great. Okay. We're going to actually, hold on a second. Okay, we're going to move on to page 49 just briefly. And we're allowed to go backwards. That's in my contract. I don't always have to go in chronological order. I just wanted to let you know that. Now I think it's in my contract that I have to be in the United States of America, though. So, oh, it's just so great to hear everyone. Okay, so just very, very briefly, a yoga parallel. So developing your mentor coach story is just basically, you know, how you're showing up with your story of what you bring as a coach to the client and modeling this professional story to give, you know, your client the ability to do the same, to create their story, to allow them to be the architect of developing their story and in their unique individual voice. So there's a yoga parallel here. It's the third paragraph down, and I'll just read it briefly. Your authenticity includes coaching from your center, from the core of who you are. Your value as well as expertise will manifest authentically in this way, and your clients will benefit greatly. So using our practice as a parallel, could someone share how, you know, they've developed their story to use, whether it's in class as a teacher or as a student? Just something that you've created in your own life that you, you know, that you lend voice to. Anybody want to take a stab at that?
It's Sue. I'll try.
Thanks, Sue.
I kind of think about when I'm in class and being a practitioner for so many, many, many years, I will try to coach from my center. Someone will come up to me after class and ask a question as to a posture and just noticing that, you know, there's adjustments that can be made that aren't being taught, that no one's helping them with, and I try to take a step back and wait for someone to ask me, and then the core of me, which is totally yoga for many years, can just comes out, and it's definitely an expertise, and it manifests. authentically. Because I have that long, long practice, and I feel like if someone asks me and I tell them, it's coming from my core and it's authentic because I've done a lot of work and I have the wisdom and the knowledge to answer and to help others with their yoga questions. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense, and thank you for sharing that. And many, many years of wisdom in the yoga as yogini, you know, and it translates beautifully, which is why I love this program. And it's the very last two sentences on page 49 that mentor coaching is about listening to and responding to your client rather than advising or fixing them. Deep listening requires practicing and commitment, not expertise. So we don't need to be content experts. But if we're coming from that place of groundedness and centeredness, and we're being and we're actively listening and we're asking powerful questions, you are going to create a successful collaboration with your client. Great. Thank you for sharing, Sue. Okay, we're going to move on, and unless there are any other questions that have come up in our conversation thus far.
You know, one question I have, Sasha, and it may be something we'll get into as the weeks go on, but much of what I really get from coaching is about just facilitating somebody else's emergence and goals, and it's really less about, as you say, offering advice. And so, I mean, I wonder how much of the authenticity comes in from just being a facilitator. I can see being a coach and offering suggestions or tips and try it this way, you might try it that way, that I can see, but just being a facilitator seems pretty neutral.
And I have to say, Randy, I'm not sure if I'm understanding your question accurately, so can you repeat it?
Well, I guess I'm wondering about inauthenticity. Is it being more about expression rather than just listening and restating and asking good questions? So where does authenticity come when there's really not a whole lot of advice or expression?
Yeah. Well, authenticity is how you show up in your own life, right? How you show up in all aspects of your life. It's a choice. We have a choice to choose to show up in authenticity or not. But from that authentic place, from that centered, grounded place, my experience has been, and the work that's been done with this program, is that you have access to many more places than if you weren't authentic. Being able to ask powerful questions and to support your client and keep them accountable, yes, they have to make those decisions. They're driving the agenda. Remember, they're the subject of this. They're driving exactly where they want to go. And when you show up in your full presence, you're giving them the opportunity to feel heard and to be seen, because they can trust in the collaboration that you are there showing up in your full sense of self so that they feel supported on their journey. I'm not sure if that answered your question or not, and I know that some of this will flush out as we go forward.
Yeah, that's good. That's helpful. I think it's that there's sort of this unspoken, invisible sense that allows somebody to relax a little bit more.
Right.
And more will emerge as a result.
And it's also, it's an energy, Randy. And everything is energy, right? Everything is energy in this world. And when you tap into the energy of yourself, of the connection with others, of other people's energy, you'll get that sense and you'll know, and that will lead you And it's a very big part, and that's where the yoga piece comes into this. So, great question.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay. Let's move on and talk a little bit about content and process. So there's you know, you guys read through a bunch of pages here, but there's no specific page for this. Would somebody who hasn't spoken yet this afternoon be willing to share their understanding of what process means to them?
Carla with us again, by the way?
Yeah, she's back on. Carla?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, yeah, you're still super faint. Do you have a headset on?
I have a headset on, yes.
You might want to try without. And just turn your volume all the way up.
It's up all the way. Is it better?
It's slightly better.
Okay, I will take the headphone off and try it again. Is this better?
Okay, well, go ahead. You want to take it? Stab it. No, then it's going to echo, so put your headset back on.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No problem. Go ahead.
You're fine. Okay, back on.
Do you want to take a stab at the process definition? Anyone? It's okay, we've already spoken.
Hi, school. Is anyone talking? I can take a stab at the process. Let's, Carla, go ahead.
Carla, you're up.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me?
Just turn up your volume as much as you can.
It's completely open, the volume.
It's still a little muffled, so I'm just going to go ahead and start the conversation. So in this context, and for the purposes of this training, although it can absolutely be in other realms, open to the outcome is how we define process. So in this particular instance of coaching clients, you're not trying to ghostwrite the client. You always want to keep forefront and remember the point of reference is always the client. And your job is to help develop their story. So, for example, how they feel, how they think, what they're thinking, how they organize their thoughts, what their experiences are. So this process will allow true collaboration and co-creating. And through this, you can develop a working alliance which will continually build the trust that I was just chatting briefly with Randy about, what Randy brought up, building this trust. So the process of supporting and allowing the client to come up with their own ideas, with their own agenda, with their own roadmap to where they want to go. And you're there being the collaborator. That is the process that we are trying to, and the principles that we're trying to teach. It's, you know, getting centered creates a model for them to behave differently. So again, it's, are you doing or are you being? And in this process, that's the essence right there is where the shift will occur. and this offers the greatest potential for change.
This is Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie. Go ahead.
This is Jamie. Hi. Well, I guess I have a comment. Now it's starting to make sense the more I heard what you were saying. I'm working with a particular client who has a situation with a number of people who are very close to her who have very strong ideas about what she should do or not do. And what I've noticed, we've been working together now for about 2 months, and what I've noticed that's unfolding her, which is the best word I can think of to describe it, is that I am not one of those people. I'm actually taking efforts to get my ideas, as many as I might have, out of the way and simply keep redirecting her to what is it inside of her that is moving her in one direction or another direction. And I'm equating it to, again, how I've been instructed on my mat in terms of when I'm asked or presented with a pose, there's not a perfect way to do it. There's my way to do it. And so I'm like working with my interior being and learning how to negotiate that to find my way, as opposed to always looking outside of myself to experts or family members or all of the people who are, you know, thinking that they know what is best for me, and I'm actually uncovering and discovering that within myself. Is that?
Wow. No, that's my response as well.
Okay.
That's awesome. The tremendous insight. And so can you see by that example that you just shared with the group, which was potent and powerful, how this can serve you to support your clients on their journey?
It's becoming such an incredible experience for me. It's like, again, unfolding is the word that I can use. I'm watching her literally go from a plant that was all dried up to she's flowering. She's really, and there's such an incredible trust that I understand what you're talking about that's being built between the two of us, because I think I'm the first person in her life who has ever just fully supported her without an agenda.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the beauty of coaching, is that the client is the one driving their own agenda. And you're their support system and learning all the tools. And so what I hear you saying is you're really having an impact from the inside out. And I hear that all the time on my mat, and I say it a lot as a teacher, you know, yoga is all about from the inside out, going inside first, that's the challenging piece. That's the harder way to get there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. Thank you for sharing that, and I'm glad some of this is beginning to resonate with you all. And it's going to, for some of you, it'll show up in a week, and some of you it'll show up in a month, and some of you it'll show up in 6 months. So there's no, again, there's no judgment. There's just, so sometimes it's a fire hose of information, and you have to work to discern, you know, some of the pieces that are going to show up sooner rather than later. So great. Thank you. Thanks, Genevieve.
And so process is literally then, you know, as you're just reiterating, just listening to your client, picking up for what they think, how they feel, their variances, just literally watching them, listening to them, and repeating back to them what they say. And so, okay, so then the coaching, you know, you keep keep along, you know, sessions with this person. And as we, you know, listen to our client, say we pick up on an obvious theme that's going on. So is that then when, I mean, we're there to, we don't want to say fix or change.
Right. But there's another word for that, and it's called suggestion and brainstorming and aha moments, and we'll get to all of those things. So you're right in line with, your thinking is right in line with where we're going. So there, and we'll learn more about that delineation between fixing versus suggesting and brainstorming and have them being part of the conversation. But you're going to learn that it's okay to interrupt and say, I'm having this hit, and I'd like to check in with you to see if it's something that resonates with you, and do you want to explore it deeper? So do you see the difference? Rather than, you know, just saying you need to be doing this or fixing this, it's the language that you put around the conversation that makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Is that helpful?
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious to get to that point because I'm just like in the head, off the top of my head, it's like, okay, you're hearing and you're, so obviously they're saying stuff, and then you see some strong belief that they have over something. And that's your aha moment that you could share with them, and I see that there's a way that you can word it.
Well, I'm going to challenge you here for a second and just say, if you had such a sense as a teacher watching a student in their practice with the similarities that you've just shared, how could you use your intuition to navigate that situation? What would be your process?
If I saw a student doing a posture that
Say you're giving constant alignment cues and you're going over and giving hands-on adjustments and you're having conversations with this person after class and week after week, month after month, you're seeing resistance to change, to maybe explore different ways of doing a posture, which, let's say, for this instance, might be safer for this individual. So the theme is showing up over and over. I'm just curious how you might, what would be your process for engaging with this particular student?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I'm kind of an eagle eye, and I think people appreciate that for me. I mean, there's this one guy who comes to my 6:30 a.m. class, and I do give him the same corrections all the time. Every time. And I make, it's after class, so, it's like I jokingly say it to him. But, it's like, imagine that I'm not there and I'm giving you those corrections. Just imagine, when I take my hands away, it's imagining that they're there so the body can remember what that feels like. I don't think that I have any real good answer for that, how I would handle someone who's doing something that could be more healthy. I tell them, I don't know.
Totally fine. Just practice. Just notice in your life where these situations come up, and then just see what comes up for you. And we're going to continue to have that, expand this conversation as we go into subsequent weeks. But you can already be aware of it and be calling it in to, like, okay, what would I do in this situation? Okay.
Yep.
All right. Great. Thanks, Genevieve. If everyone could turn, please, to page 64 in your manual. And really briefly, because we've just got about 6 minutes or so before we get to the top of the hour and get into our coach session, the four steps of communication. Let's see. Christine, would you please read all four? Just the highlighted bullet, you know, the number 1, 2, 3, and 4. Page 64.
Sure. Number 1, reflect back to the speaker what you heard him or her say. 2, clarify by asking the next question. 3, understand the context. 4, listen between the lines.
Great, thanks. And then pick one, something that is calling to you, and just can you give an example or an experience where either you were being coached, not necessarily in a coach-client relationship, but even in a conversation or a student-to-yoga teacher experience where one of these four steps of communication was super helpful?
I think listen between the lines resonates with me. So much of our communication isn't verbal. I have a child who's incredibly literal, and he's gotten better as he's gotten older, but he just was incredible. And so, you know, reading the body language and hearing what people are not saying was always huge, and that was a big focus of what we tried to teach him. And so I think that's why that calls to me, because so much of communication is not what people say.
Right. And how has your experience and wisdom of being a yoga teacher for so many years served you with reading between the lines, or, you know, just even on an energetic level?
I think being a yoga teacher makes you more mindful, makes you more present. And when you are present, it's easier to read between those lines because you're not thinking what's happening next or what's on my to-do list or what happened at work today. When you're more present, it's easier to read between the lines, listen between the lines.
And I find it interesting that you use the word present, because that has been what a lot of our conversation and focus has been about today. So thank you, Christine. Joyce, would you pick one of the other three of the four steps of communication and share an experience that you've had with that?
Understanding the context, I think, might be an important one. And there's so many factors that come into a statement. And, of course, there's the body language and listening between the lines and so forth. But this is getting into the person's frame of reference, pretty much their state of mind, where they are when all of this is taking place. And I think that those are really important things to know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's your start point right there. And then your empathy can come in and everything else, that you need to know where that person is right there.
Absolutely. Great. Thank you. And let's see. Carla, I don't want to feel like you're being left out here, so we're going to jump in and try again. No, it's not. It's not. I want you to have full participation here. Can you pick one of the other two and give your share, please?
Let's see.
One or two.
Reflect back to the speaker what you heard him or her say.
Okay.
Sometimes, or actually, it's a lot of times people just don't exactly say that really, really bothered them. And then they communicate it around what is really bothering them. And by just repeating what they asked you, repeat the question, and make sure that that is what they mean, you can filter out and you can help them to get
to the real question that we have.
Great, you're coming in loud and clear. So I'm hoping everyone is having the same experience with Carla speaking. Yeah, and I love the sentence at the very bottom saying, knowing and respecting each other's point of view is the initial phase of a satisfying mutual equal collaboration. So, you know, being able to clarify and being able to reflect back, which you'll hear again in our demo session, to really distill down to what the client wants to focus on. So that's great. Thank you so much. And then let's have Randy to take the last one, clarify by asking the next question, please.
Okay, so you want my perspective on this first, right, experience?
I do.
Yep. I think for me it's after I've had that experience of kind of reflecting back what the person has said, had that moment, a pause where you can really digest, take in and have that other person feel, it's, okay, we're extending the curiosity. Saying, I want to know more about what you're saying. So it may be like, for example, in, you know, a dialogue with a partner, there's some issue that you're having a disagreement about, or just seeing that they do things differently and just asking a sort of a question in a neutral way that's just curious to say, tell me more about, or tell me, yeah, what is it like? Tell me, give me some more details.
Wonderful. And I love how you used the word a couple times, curiosity. Get really curious about, you know, what your client is sharing. And just even being curious will, you know, help you stay, all of us, to stay present and grounded and active listening. When you're curious, you're in a listening mode. So that's great. And we went a little bit out of order here, but that's okay. So just continue to, you know, read over these things and let them get distilled in you. And as we move into our demo coaching session, which Christine has graciously agreed to be my client, I'd love for you guys to just listen for some of the things that we discussed today. Powerful questions, doing versus being, intuition, and here, these forms of communication, reflecting back to the speaker, understanding the context. And so just to beginning to get a sense of how it's all sort of put together. So if everyone but Christine could please press *6 on their phones to mute yourselves. And Christine, you'll need to unmute.
I think I am. Am I?
Oh, here it says muted, but okay. That's weird. It's looking like not everyone's muted, but we'll trust that they are. Okay. All right. Hi, Christine.
Hello.
Thank you for volunteering to be my client today in our demo session. You know, we've had a lot of conversation over the last hour, and I'm curious how you're feeling energetically, if you need any kind of grounding or you're ready to dive into our session.
I think I'm ready to dive in.
Okay, that's great. So what would you like to take away from our time together today?
I'm looking for just a fresh perspective, really. I value other people's opinions. I'd like to know what someone else's take on what I'm going to say. We get stuck sometimes, I think. We obviously can only know our own perspective, really, because that's the only perspective we have. But I'm looking for a fresh perspective.
Okay. So if I'm
maybe something I hadn't thought of before.
Okay. Thanks. So if I'm understanding you clearly, a fresh perspective from someone else.
Yes.
Okay. And that would be me.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right. That sounds great. I am totally on board to support you with this. And tell me a little bit more about what you need a fresh perspective on. What's going on?
Okay. This fall for me is becoming the perfect storm of busyness and new opportunities. I'm really excited about the future. I feel that I'm building a life that I love. I feel that I'm being my authentic self and choosing work that matters to me and matters to the world. And 98 or 99% of the time, I'm really, really happy and excited. And then I get attacks of the what ifs. Just to backtrack a little, in addition to this class, I'm returning to college after 25 years. I'm looking for a job. I'm working on a novel. So sometimes I get these attacks of the what ifs. What if I can't balance it all? What if I go back and I'm a terrible student this time? What if, what if, what if? To give you a little bit of context, you know, we talked about context. There are people in my life for whom these what ifs are absolutely terrifying, absolutely paralyzing. That's part of the reason why I want to become a life coach. And so my MO, I think, is when I get these what ifs, is to just squash them flat, you know. I don't want to listen to you. I'm confident I'm going to do what I want to do. But I don't want to be so dismissive if some of those what ifs are coming from my authentic self, you know, saying, okay, take a step back. Don't overcommit. You're prone to doing that. Take a breath. You know, I'm trying to discern, I think, between that critical inner troll voice, the one that says, you're not good enough, you can't do this, and my authentic self, which might be giving me, you know, really decent advice. So I don't want to be so dismissive of these what ifs, if maybe there's something in there that I need to pay attention to, but I don't want to give them a lot of credence if it really is just my inner critical troll saying, you can't.
That's a challenging situation to be in, and I appreciate your honesty about, you know, trying to find that balance between what you're lending your energy to. Is it limiting beliefs, or is it your authentic self? And so for me, what brings up a curiosity is to ask you, how do you know when you're being your authentic self?
I think I'm being my authentic self when I'm confident and things feel, when you're behaving inauthentically, it feels wrong. It just doesn't feel right. It sometimes doesn't even feel right in your body. I'm prone to headaches, that sort of thing. So I think it's just a feeling of rightness, both emotionally and physically, when I'm being my authentic self.
Okay, great. And how are you showing up when your limiting beliefs are guiding you? What's happening?
I try to take a step back and be present and ask myself, you know, is this actually, you know, is this good advice? Is this actually helpful to me? Is this something that has my best interest at heart? Or is this inner critic that maybe doesn't deserve my attention? And so, and it doesn't feel good. It feels awful when I listen to that inner critic. And in the same way, physically, it feels wrong. And emotionally, it feels wrong.
So say more about the feeling of it being awful.
I very much internalize it. It's very much a physical sort of a feeling. So I will wind up with headaches. I will be exhausted. I will be in pain. I got diagnosed with fibromyalgia a few years ago, and I found that as long as I'm moving, for the most part, I'm not in pain. I can manage pain through yoga, through walking. But when I'm listening to that inner critic, I'm more likely to wind up in a flare-up, and all the yoga in the world doesn't make me feel better because I'm not really doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
I hear you, and I hear you very clearly, and sometimes, you know, we all recognize the mind-body connection, right? There is no separation. And I'm still really curious and asking you to flesh out a little bit more. You know, what are the tools that you use when you find that you're being led by these negative energies and these limiting beliefs?
I very much try to pause, to take some breaths, to do some pranayama, and just kind of center myself and ground myself. One thing that I've found to be very effective is when I can recognize something as my inner critic, I give it the voice of my high school bully. And by giving it that voice and not feeling that it's my own voice, I can more easily say, no, that's not true. I can do these things. I am capable of doing them. I am good enough to do them. By personifying that inner critic when I can recognize it as such. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's where I struggle a little bit, is knowing, you know, which is my inner critic and which is actually my authentic self. I'm trying to find that balance.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back for a minute, Christine. You know, you're talking about getting a fresh perspective on these things that you're dealing with and trying to find the balance with these what-ifs. And what came up for me when you said these what-ifs, you know, what if I'm not good enough to go back to school? What if? And then you filled in the blank. I'm curious whose voice that is.
You know, to be honest, I hadn't identified that voice, and that might be a step to really listen to not only what the question is, the what if, but whose voice is that? Because I'm not sure.
Has there been a time that you can recall in your past where this has shown up before and maybe in a totally different way, a totally different experience, and have you been able to connect it to whose voice that might be?
My doubts, which come out as the what ifs, seem less negative maybe than in the past. I think I'm better connecting with my authentic self and better able to tamp down that inner critic. And so they seem less negative. I'll give you an example. I ran a 5K for the first time last spring, and I got out of my car at the race, and I thought to myself, it was like ghosts of high school past. Oh my gosh, you can't do this. These people are runners. These people are athletes. What are you doing? You don't belong here. And it was incredibly negative. And I did get over it, and I did finish the race. I came in dead last, but I knew that the winning for me was not where I finished, but not getting back in my car and going home.
Mm. Well, congratulations on completing a 5K. That's not an easy task. And it sounds to me like you've been doing a lot of work, like you're noticing and you're becoming very much aware that what was incredibly negative for you before, while it's still visible and shows up in your life, doesn't seem to have the same impact. Am I correct in hearing you?
Yeah, I believe that's true. And I have been doing a lot of work. You know, in that area, just trying to be my authentic self.
So as you move forward, you know, with going back to school and this program, finding a job, continuing to write your novel, what's a baby step that you can take in honor of you to continue to step away from those voices and continue to step into you know, a more heart-centered, authentic place. Because these things don't change overnight. But just being active and being held accountable to what you say is important to you will keep you moving in that direction. So what is a baby step that feels good to you within the next week?
I think one baby step that I could do would be to commit to whenever I hear anything, you know, taking a breath and saying, okay, where is this coming from? Just making sure I step back. I seem to do better when I'm more centered and less well when I'm feeling overwhelmed and flustered and there's a lot going on. And if I commit to saying every single time I have these doubts, I have an attack of the what ifs, I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to take a pause. And I'm going to really try to be present and just notice, where is that coming from? You know, is this, okay, you need to step back because you've only had 3 hours of sleep and that's not going to work? Or is this that you can't do this?
I love it. And can you lead and shorten? Lead that sentence in with "I am committed to" and just simplify it a little bit.
What okay. Do you commit to? I am committed to being present when I feel an attack of the what ifs.
Great. And how will you know that you've accomplished this?
I think that I will have more discernment and I will better be able to know, okay, this is my inner critic and that voice doesn't really deserve my energy. Or, okay, this is something I really need to pay attention to because it's important. I already see it evolving. I see myself headed in that direction where I do know more of the time.
Yeah. And from our very short time together in 15 minutes from the beginning till the end, I am feeling an energetic shift from you. And I just want to check in and see how you're feeling.
I feel okay.
You feel like this is manageable?
I do.
Great. And I'd like to check in with you in a few days or so to see how it's going. So maybe by the weekend. We'll check in by email, and you can fill me in more on what that experience has been like for you on our next call.
Thank you.
Okay. Great. And thanks so much for volunteering, Christine, and I look forward to hearing about all. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, if everyone could unmute themselves, please. Welcome back to the call. We'll give everyone an opportunity to share your experience of that demo coaching session, both things that you thought went well, things that you didn't think worked so well, or maybe any inquiries around what transpired. So, Susan, would you like to start us off, please?
I was curious about her fibromyalgia and what she could, do. To help a little bit more information about that and what she can do to relieve her symptoms, or because that could be pretty debilitating for someone who's, trying to, what word am I looking for? To feel better. So, I don't know, would that be something that as a coach you would ask or encourage some information or what?
Well, in a 15-minute coaching call, there's not a lot to get to, right? So just realize that when you're doing your coaching practice and you're working with your clients, it's going to be an hour at the minimum, and there'll be more time to explore other avenues.
Right, and that's something I took a note about.
Yeah, so I would like to ask that question to Christine. Christine, would it have been helpful for you during our time together to talk more about the fibromyalgia?
Not at this point. Possibly when I was diagnosed 3 years ago, it would have been very helpful. At this point, I'm much more aware of the mind-body connection. I understand that I need to meditate. I need to keep moving. It's almost counterintuitive because you're in pain, so you think, well, I don't want to move. But for me, the more I move, the better I feel. So at this point, I feel like I have a good handle on it. It would have been very helpful when I was first diagnosed. At this point, it probably wouldn't have added anything.
Great. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. And Sue, thank you for your insight. Jamie, what was your takeaway from that session?
I was paying really close attention to the way that it was initially, the way that she initially presented wanting another perspective, and what I experienced in the skillful use of questions and kind of a sense, again, of turning things back to the client is that she ended up, at least what I heard, was kind of coming up with her own different perspective instead of a different perspective being supplied by somebody else. And that different perspective, to me, I was taking that in the sense of like a step back. I mean, that's how it felt to me listening to the two of you go through that, is that, and it was Christine?
Correct.
Yes. Take a step back at the end, which actually gave her that different perspective that she had initially, in my mind, I was hearing her wanting that from you.
Mm-hmm.
So it came from, again, as you said, moving from the inside out very skillfully done. It's great.
Yeah. Brilliant. And it's just a reminder that clients are held creative, resourceful, and whole. They have all the answers already in them. And it's our job as coaches to work with them to allow those answers to come to surface. And, you know, I didn't even think of that until you brought it up. So she wanted a fresh perspective, but fresh mean from coming from her just as much as coming from me. She gave herself her own fresh perspective. So great. I love it. Great. Thank you. Let's see. Carla, what are your thoughts?
Yes. Can you hear?
Yes.
Okay. The one thing that was very, very clear and that I found wonderful to listen to is that you didn't, at any point, you didn't give your opinion or your ideas or whatever. The way you were asking the questions, you kept it fully Christine itself. Christine was the one who was giving her own answers, her own new answers. Actually, I'm saying the same thing as Jamie. Yes.
But she was saying it in her own words. Yeah, it's skillfully using the tools and the principles and the strategies of coaching to empower and support the client. It's not about hijacking their agenda. It's about encouraging them to be the architect of their own story. So powerful questions, listening, those two things right there. If you learn nothing else, which is absolutely impossible, and only use those two skills, you will be a very successful coach.
It's like holding a mirror.
I'm sorry?
It's like holding up a mirror.
Yep, it is. Very much so. Thank you, Carla.
Wait, stop. Can you say that again? If you only learn two things, asking proper questions and what?
And active listening.
Oh, okay.
Those are two major, major skills to have as a coach. Randy, what are your thoughts on this session? What worked for you? What did you hear? What did you learn?
Well, a lot has been said already, so I guess just adding a little bit, it was just very noticeable to me how it was really condensed into such a short period of time. It felt, you know, pleasantly rushed. So I noticed that, and I can imagine it would be much different in an hour-long session. I also, you know, as I think maybe Jamie had said this, but she really started off by saying, I'd like to get your perspective. And it wasn't clear that really your goal was to help facilitate her thoughts, or at least I really didn't get your perspective, didn't hear you offering any perspective, or even saying, listen, that's not kind of what I'm here to do, or I can do it in a way that we're just kind of brainstorming together. But you most of the time kind of really brought it back to her experience and helped her clarify what was going on inside her.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm not sure who said it. I mean, the agenda was, and Christine helped clarify this for me if I'm getting this wrong, is to get my perspective. But I know as a coach that she has the answers within her, and I just kind of smoothly and to the best of my knowledge and wisdom sort of continued to open up conversations around things that might change her perspective on her own.
Yeah, I got that. There's some part of me that has a little resistance to when someone asks you a question, the other person asks you a question back. It's like, well, no, I don't want your question. I want an answer. It's fine to do, but if there's a way to talk about what you're going to do and why, that helps.
Sure.
So for me, I would have wanted that.
And I see what you're saying, putting some more language around what she was asking me for.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Point noted and taken. Let's see. Joyce? Thank you, Randy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, exactly what everyone else said. I noticed the first thing she did was ask you to find a solution for her, which you skillfully worked around. And by asking all these wonderful questions, you got her to come up with a path. So, you know, that was wonderful. I wrote down all of your questions, and they all led to the same path. Another thing that really stood out to me was there was no judgment from you. I mean, I have to be quite honest. I was thinking, oh, my gosh, how's she going to do all that stuff? You know?
I think that sometimes too.
Yeah, I was like, wow. But I didn't feel anything from you judgmentally, like you can't. In fact, you validated her. And you said, you know, looks like you've really done a lot of work here. And, you know, you applauded the progress that she's making. So I love that.
Great. Thank you. Genevieve, your thoughts?
Well, I feel like everyone said all the things, really. Yep. I think everyone pretty much summed it up.
Okay. And Christine, I wanted you to be able to have some time to, how did that feel for you?
It was good. And just to address something that several people said, even though I initially said I'd like your perspective, I still felt satisfied with the result, getting to a fresh perspective on my own. I still felt that was productive for me. So I didn't feel that I had, even though I had worded it that way, I didn't feel I was missing anything.
Great. And sometimes that's the case, even most times that's the case. We enter with one agenda and everything is intertwined. And you just end up taking pathways that you may not have clearly intended to in the beginning. But at the end of the day, it's all, like I said, it's all intertwined. It's all in support of taking the client where they want to go, where they say is important to them. So, great. Oh, my gosh, it's 4:30, and we didn't have one dropped call. We didn't have one echo. Oh, we did when Carla took her headset off. And I am so excited. I don't know about you guys, but yes. Yes. So thank you for your energy and your participation. So before we say goodbye, let's just go over the homework for next week, which is to read pages 81 through 86 in your manual. And then we'll really be getting into the crux of what coaching is by reading pages 97 through 100, which we'll be referencing for the rest of the 10 weeks that we are together. In addition, please share your SMART goals with your buddy. Okay, any questions before we go?
It's Sue. I next Tuesday is a travel day for me, and I was wondering if someone would switch client day with me in case I have a problem with the flight or whatever. I don't want to be caught, and you just don't know. So would that, without too much to do, could I switch with someone for next week?
All right, let's take that offline. Let's take that offline because I want to honor your time. But and I know things come up, but please let me know. I already made this schedule, and if we can, you know, be able to help Sue out, I definitely will. So next week, Sue, you are the client?
Yes, but I just want to switch with someone.
For a different week.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'll take a look at that, and I will.
Okay.
Send out an email.
Let me know.
And, yeah, it's great to be back in Colorado,
okay. Everyone.
Have a great week. And let me know if you need any support before next week, and I will talk to you soon.
Bye, everybody.
Have a good night.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Sasha?